I'd like to continue reading from Canto 2, Chapter 7, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are, there's a section about Krishna's pastimes. All very nice. Anything about Krishna is very nice. Starting with text 33. This morning we discussed about Govardhan Leela and some nice things Prabhupada spoke in that relation. And this is about Rasa Leela and Shankachuda. The translation of text 33 is, when the Lord was engaged in his pastimes of the Rasa dance in the forest of Vrindavan, enlivening the desires of the wives of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by sweet and melodious songs, a demon of the name Shankachuda, a rich follower of the treasurer of heaven, Kuvera, kidnapped the damsels, and the Lord severed his head from his trunk. And the purport. We should carefully note that the statements described herein are statements of Brahmaji to Narada, and he was speaking to Narada of events that would happen in the future during the advent of Lord Krishna. So these are this dialogue is taking place very, very early in the stages of creation, in the Satya Yuga. We know, you know, the four yuga cycles are there, and 100 yuga cycles makes one day of Brahma. So this is very early in the day of Brahma. And as far as Krishna's appearance in Vraja is concerned, Krishna's advent takes place during the 7th Manu and the 28th yuga cycle of the 7th Manu. So roughly around 11:30 a.m. in Brahma's day. And this is early in Brahma's day. So these are events that haven't happened yet. But they're pastimes of Krishna, which are known by personalities like Brahma and Narada in the future. The Prabhupada writes, the pastimes of the Lord are known to the experts who are able to see past, present, and future, and Brahmaji, being one of them, foretold what would happen in the future. That's the first point. So Vyas, the compiler of the Vedas, is also Chikalakya. He is able to understand the events before they happen and perfectly back in time without any mistakes, without any guesswork, because he knows. Then the killing of Shankachuda by the Lord is a more recent incident, that is, after the Rasa Leela, and not exactly a simultaneous affair. He's pointing out for his readers, Prabhupada is pointing out, that these are not side-by-side chronological events. For example, in the previous verses we have seen also that the Lord's engagement in the affairs of the forest fire was described along with his pastimes of punishing the Kaliya snake, and similarly the pastimes of the Rasa dance and the killing of Shankachuda are also described herein. The adjustment is that all these incidents would take place in the future after the time when it would be foretold by Brahmaji to Narada. So the time chronology becomes less important when you understand he's just speaking about things that haven't happened yet, not that they're like simultaneous events. While the Rasa dance was taking place, Shankachuda didn't come. But it happened later, after the rasa dance, both of them in the future. The demon Shankachuda was killed by the Lord during his pastimes of Horika in the month of Phalgun, and the same ceremony is still observed in India by the burning of the effigy of Shankachuda one day prior to the Lord's pastimes at Horika, generally known as Holi. So the pastime of the Lord of Holi, which comes around Gaura Purnima time, which is the month of Phalgun, when we are observing Gaura Purnima, that other pastime is also going on, Krishna's pastime, around roughly this, at least the same month. And the Shankachuda pastime took place in that same month. Just prior to Holi. So, those of you that have been to Vrindavan have most likely gone to Govardhan Hill. And when you go to Govardhan Hill, traditionally the parikrama begins along the eastern side of Govardhan Hill, often starting from Radhakund and going down to Kusum Sarovar. And just past Kusum Sarovar is the place where this killing of Shankachuda took place. And when you're doing parikrama, it's where Govardhan now is just appearing, because when from the northern direction where Radhakund, Shyamakund, it's on a rise, but all of the hill of Govardhan is very much sunken. And then, like where the neck of the peacock would be, the hill of Govardhan is not so high, and just as the hill of Govardhan starts to again rise in that area, as you're going down the parikrama path, Govardhan Hill is on your right, and you go inside through a large forested area, and there's a jeweled throne, or a place where there was a jeweled throne, where Krishna would come and bow before Radha in their pastimes. And there's a rock where it used to be just off in the forest, and now they've made a little shrine for it, where you can see the impression of the cows in the stone, and Krishna's foot in the stone by the cows, and Krishna's cane, his walking stick, imprinted in the stone. And over to the side there's a pukur, a pond. And it's in that place where the Shankachuda imprints, that encounter with Shankachuda. So what was the situation was, it wasn't rasa dance specifically, because Balaram was there. And as we discussed this morning, when rasa dance takes place, Balaram quietly with the other cowherd boys goes elsewhere with the cows, because rasa dance is the intimate pastime with the gopis is of a different mood. And to his company, three's a crowd. Balaram just like quietly makes way for Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. But in this case, Krishna was with Balaram, and there were many young gopi girls, and so beautiful that Shankachuda, who happened to be passing by the area, a very opulent personality, he was given the name Shankachuda because in his turban he had a very large and glittering jewel And he was very proud of his opulence as the worshipper of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigod. So he had a lot of opulence, and he was proud of his opulence, and he was thinking, so many beautiful young girls, they're fit for me to enjoy. So, paying no heed to Krishna and Balaram like they're little pushovers, he went right into the midst of the gopis and started going away with the gopis so he could enjoy, in his way of thinking, so he could enjoy with them. And the gopis were in terrible distress. Krishna, Krishna! So Balaram was told by Krishna, you stay here and protect the other gopis. I'm going to go take care of Shankarachuda. And Krishna pursued him, and Shankarachuda ran for his life, and Krishna pursued him, and guess what happened? Krishna caught him. There's a place, for those of you that are a little familiar with Govardhan, as you're approaching Govardhan, there's Surya Kund, the road that you go from the main Delhi Agra road, you go off in that a side road to go to Govardhan. As you're going down that road to Govardhan, to the right is Surya Kund, another very wonderful, very, very wonderful place where Radha and Krishna performed their pastimes together. And it's right near Surya Kund where Krishna caught Shankarachuda and relieved him of his pride and his head and his jewel, and brought the jewel back and gave the jewel to Balaram, saying, this is fitting for you. So the encounter with Shankarachuda and the gopis took place by Govardhan Hill. The Surya Kund pastime is a place where regularly Radha and Krishna would go, because Radha, with the permission of her mother, would go to perform worship of Suryadev. Now this is quite contrasting with what we heard this morning about Krishna telling Nanda Maharaj, there's no need to worship the devas, just worship Govardhan Hill and that aggravated Indra. But we find these examples in the Leela of the Vrajavasis that sometimes they would worship Indra, or sometimes, we'll explain this, sometimes Radha would worship the sun god. And so there's a temple of Suryadev, and she would go there and worship, and her wish when she would worship Suryadev was to have Krishna as her husband. Like the very, very young gopis, even before Krishna left Gokul, the very young gopis would worship Katyayani to have Krishna as her husband. And very interestingly, all of them were having the same worship or the same wish. They all wanted Krishna as their husband. So that's where the Vastra Hari pastime took place, or one of them, where Krishna took the garments of the gopis and had them come one by one to come get their garments after they had been bathing naked in the river at the end of this month-long Katyayani Vrata, in order to fulfill their desire to have Krishna as their husband. Or another place on the Parikrama path around Govardhan Hill is Gauri Kund. Gauri, another name of Devi, a goddess. A beautiful pastime. Beautiful, beautiful pastime that took place in connection with Gauri Devi, the Gauri Kund pastime. Krishna's pastimes are nice. Um, Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani. Do you know how Abhimanyu became the so-called husband of Radharani? During the pastime when Krishna replaced the calves and the cowherd boys that Brahma had put into the cave, one moment of Brahma's time passed when he came back to where the cowherd boys were, but one moment of Brahma's time is 1 year on earthly time. So for 1 year, the manifestation of Krishna as the cowherd boys and the calves was experienced by the residents of Braja, where their sons went back home, and the parents, the mothers and fathers, had affection for their sons like they had for Krishna, because that was Krishna, not their sons. And the cows had affections for their calves like they had for Krishna, which was even more than the affection they had for their own calves. So what situation is it where a parent has more affection for someone else than they have for their own son? I mean, it's not normal. But with Krishna, it's normal, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they're pure devotees, and so they consistently had more affection for Krishna than for their own sons, or the cows for Krishna than their own calves. But for 1 year, Krishna was their son. So they had a desire to have as their son Krishna, and so Krishna fulfilled their desire. He became their son for 1 year, personally. And the parents couldn't tell the difference between their son and Krishna, except for one thing, the affection that they had. And then during that 1 year, Krishna made a suggestion. He said, Nanda Baba, this is a very auspicious time. As you know, in our village culture, young boys and young girls, they would become married at an early age. And so I've consulted with Purnamasi, and she has said, yes, this is a very good time for all these boys to be married and betrothed to the young girls. So when the Vedic system, even until more recent or quite recent times, a young boy before puberty was married to a young girl. They wouldn't live together as husband and wife, but they were betrothed. They were married. Not just betrothed, they were married. So that they, although they didn't even know what that meant, they would know who their wife or who their husband was. So that when they became mature and there was male-female attraction in a pronounced way, they would know who their son was, or who their husband was, or who their wife was. In fact, there's this whole description given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to describe how we can practice love for Krishna now, although we don't really know what love for Krishna is. It's a nice explanation. Like this arrangement of betrothal. So the arrangement was that on the birthday of the young boy, just like, you know, we observe Krishna Janmashtami, on the birthday of the young boy, the young girl, under the direction of the parents, would bring to the boy a gift. And the young boy, not having, you know, any particular attraction for the young girl, would accept the gift. She would bring something that she had cooked and prepared, and some other kind of gift, like we might offer offerings to Krishna, you know, 108 offerings and Krishna Janmashtami and something like that, and some nice floral arrangements and something that we offering to Krishna. So the young girl would do like that every year. And then it happened every year and every year and every year, and then that relationship then became something that the young boy would look forward to. The young girl would come and bring something very nice, and so in that way they would develop some attachment for one another, pre-puberty. And then they would then go back, and she would live with her parents and till that time when that attraction reached its mature stage. And the arrangement was that the boy would be some number of years older than the girl, traditionally. And so, like Prabhupada described this about, even in his own family, his sister was married when she was, you know, some number of years old, just a young girl, 8 years old, you know, but didn't live with her husband until she was a mature girl. So, like that, Krishna was proposing that this is a very auspicious time for marriage, and I suggest that all of the boys become married to the girls. So Nanda Maharaj thought that was a very nice proposal, especially because it was coming from Krishna. And so marriage arrangements were made. And Krishna, who was Abhimanyu, because there were all the coward boys were Abhimanyu, I mean all the boys were Krishna, Abhimanyu was paired with Radha. But actually Radha was married with Krishna. But then after that 1 year passed, and Brahma, then Krishna exhibited that he was each of the calves and cowherd boys. He showed forms of Narayan for each one of the calves and cowherd boys. Then by mystic power, those boys who were in the cave for 1 year were not aware that they were in the cave for 1 year. And when they came out of the cave, it was like a moment had passed. And they went to sit down at the banks of the side of the river Jamuna, and Krishna came back with the calves. And they said, "Oh, just see, Krishna, you can't stand separation from us for even a moment. Sit down and have lunch. Come." So Abhimanyu, then it became known in the village that Abhimanyu was married to Radha, so the so-called husband of Abhimanyu. And it's either Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, one of them indicates that Abhimanyu is also in a very unique position. Abhimanyu is the incarnation of Krishna's shadow. Doesn't describe exactly what that means, but incarnation of Krishna's shadow. So Abhimanyu was receiving all these reports that Krishna is trying to attract Radha, my wife. It's too much disturbing. So I want to leave Vrindavan. So he made plans to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura. Like, move his family and go. But because the residents of Braja all were very respectful to Brahminical order, and they considered that the daughter of Santipani Muni, who had moved to Vrindavan just before Krishna's appearance, she was like the elder Brahmani in all of Braja, and they all very much appreciated her. So they wanted to get the blessings of Purnamasi before they did anything. So and Purnamasi's position is she's the personification of the Lord's Yogamaya potency. But she would orchestrate the pastimes of Krishna every day. That was her service as Yogamaya or as Purnamasi. So Abhimanyu went to Purnamasi, said, "Purnamasi, I have a desire to move to Mathura. I am seeking your permission." "Why would you want to move to Mathura?" "Well, you've heard the stories, so many stories, that Krishna is always so mischievous that he's trying to get the association of my wife, and this is so improper and nothing is happening, and I can't tolerate it anymore. I want to leave Raja. No, Purnamasi didn't like that idea at all. How can Radha leave Raja? This is not right. She didn't say that. She said, why do you listen to all these stories? Have you ever confirmed any of these stories anyways? Do you know that it's true? You know how people are in villages. They'll speak so many things. I don't think it's the right thing to do. Besides, it's an inauspicious time to make such a change of residence. You consider and come back another time. Is there something else that you would like to present to me? He said, well, yes, actually, there is one other thing. And that's, I'd like Radha to begin worshipping Gauri. Because Chandravali has been worshipping Gauri, and her husband and she have become very opulent. So I'm thinking, that would be nice. I'd like to also become very opulent. May I have your permission for Radha to worship Gauri? Oh, that is very good. You can instruct Radha in that way. She can worship Gauri. So, he went back home, Abhimanyu, and encouraged Radha in this way. There's a very nice place just by the western side of Govardhan Hill. Very nice temple of Gauri. You can go there and you can worship just as Chandravali does. And soon our family will become very opulent. So, Radha was very, very happy to take up that religious practice. And as she was making her way to go to worship Gauri, who would appear before her but Krishna? And there are different versions of the exchange that took place between Radha and Krishna. Krishna asked Radha, where are you going? And she played the mood of, it's none of your business. Why are you asking me where am I going? What is it your business anyways? Well, I'm just asking. You don't have to be so sully. I'm going to worship Gauri under the instruction of my husband, Abhimanyu. And Krishna indicated, there's no need to worship Gauri. You can just worship me. And all your desires will be fulfilled. And she said, Krishna, why are you speaking like this? This is offensive. Who do you think you are? Gauri is the goddess. And you're just a cowherd boy. You better step aside and let me pass. So, Krishna, after that exchange with Radha, he went to the Gauri temple. And when Radha entered the temple, who was on the altar but Krishna himself, dressed as Gauri? He was in a golden complexion and wearing ornaments and attire just like the goddess Gauri. But Radha could detect that it was actually Krishna, and she was very happy, and she began worshipping Gauri very enthusiastically. Meanwhile, one of the Jatila informed Abhimanyu, this is Abhimanyu's mother and sister, Jatila and Katila. So they informed Abhimanyu, we just saw Krishna heading for Gauri Kund, and we understand that you've also encouraged Radha to go to worship Gauri at Gauri Kund. You better go immediately. Stop this nonsense right away. So Abhimanyu went. And when he entered, Radha immediately could understand Abhimanyu has come, and he became very angry with Radha. why are you associating with Krishna again? And she said, I'm not associating with Krishna again. I'm worshipping Gauri, just as you see, just as you asked, just as you instructed me to do. What's wrong? Now, the last part is very important. I can't remember exactly. How it ends, which is very important. Something like Lalita, I can't remember exactly how it ends. Lalita comes in crying and wailing, and Abhimanyu, Jatila and Radha wonder, what is it? What is it? What is it? What's the problem? And she cries, Kamsa is coming! Kamsa is coming to take Abhimanyu away and to kill him! And they're beside themselves with grief. What to do? We're here at Gauri's temple. Let us worship Gauri. Gauri, please do something. Abhimanyu, the husband of Radha, is going to be killed. And this very high female voice comes, there is nothing that I can do because Abhimanyu has made a big offense. What is that big offense? What is the big offense? Abhimanyu wants to take Radha from Braja. The only way that I can make some assistance to this problem and stop Kamsa from coming here to take Abhimanyu away is if Abhimanyu promises he will never take Radha from Braja. I promise. I stand before you, Goddess, and I promise I will never take Radha from Braja. I promise. Very well, then I will stop Kamsa from coming here to take you to Mathura and put you in prison. So Jatila and Katila are very happy. Abhimanyu is very happy. Radha, you continue your worship here, worshiping Gauri. Thank you, Lalita, for bringing this message. Now we're saved. And so they left, and Radha was very happy, worshipping Gauri, knowing that it was Krishna. And Krishna was very happy to be worshipped by Radha with the full approval of Abhimanyu and Jatila and Katila. And Lalita was very happy making a nice arrangement for Radha-Krishna loving exchange. So we find in the descriptions of the residents of Braja that they would sometimes worship devas and devis, but we should understand what that means. Our acharyas described that when worshipping goddess Katyayani, it was to have Krishna as their husband. There was nothing other than the service of Krishna. If we had such pure desires, we could also worship in that way. I'll give a practical example from Nectar Devotion, where when the 64 items of things that are recommended to do in seva, devotional service, items of devotional service, one of them is worship of Ganesh. Correct? One of the things that we don't do is worship Ganesh. So Prabhupada was asked one time by one of his disciples, why don't we, you send Nectar Devotion, you wrote it, but you never taught us to worship Ganesh. Should we worship Ganesh, or why didn't you teach us that? And Prabhupada explained that when one worships in pure devotion, the purpose of Ganesh is the removal of obstacles in the process of worship. But because you have strong material desires, Ganesh would remove the obstacles so you could achieve those strong material desires. So better you don't worship Ganesh. Instead, for removal of obstacles, you worship Nrisingadev. So that adjustment was made. But in the case of the residents of Braja, they only know one thing, Krishna. So if there's worship of this one or that one, it's in relationship to Krishna only. So in Shankacharya's case, he was a worship of Kuvera for the purpose of material opulence. Or we know Satrajit, he was a worshipper of Suryadev for getting material opulence. But when Radha went to Suryakund for worshipping Suryadev, it was to enhance her to fulfill her desire for loving exchange with Krishna. That was a place where she would go. Suryakund is a place that commemorates where the Surya temple where Radha went, and similar to this Gauri Leela, at Suryakund, similar pastimes would take place. Regularly, Radha and Krishna would have rendezvous there. It's such a transcendental place that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj made that his residence for a long time, where he performed his bhajan. Of all the places in Braja, he liked very much this Suryakund region. One of the reasons is it was very quiet. Even today when you go there, it's not built up and commercialized. It's quite simple. In fact, overly simple. There used to be a forest grove, and the village people, not appreciating the sanctity, cut down many of the trees to use for wood, and now even the grove of forested area is very, very little. Prithushapa particularly might appreciate this. During our Giriraj Maharaj told us this during our Japa retreat in California, that, as you know, Giriraj Maharaj was the president of the Juhu Temple when it was first built long, long ago. And he regularly had to go back and forth to Vrindavan to give reports to Prabhupada on things that were happening. When Prabhupada wasn't in Bombay, he was often either in Bombay, Vrindavan, or Mayapur. So he would regularly, because it's not so far to go to from Bombay to Vrindavan, and you know, the system of emails, and even Prabhupada didn't like telephones so much, so he would go in person to meet with Prabhupada. So while in Vrindavan, he met some very old devotees, and one of those old devotees told him that during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta, we know that Bhaktisiddhanta did Brajmandal Parikrama, the full Brajmandal Parikrama, without coming back often. And see if I can remember this. To walk from Raman Reti to Govardhan Hill, those of you that have stayed at our temple in Krishna Balaram at Govardhan Hill, Krishna Balaram Temple at Raman Reti, you could walk in 1920, you could walk all the way from Raman Reti to Govardhan Hill and not see the sun because the forest was so thick. So when we read about the forest of Braja, and you go today and you see the desert of Rajasthan extending into the Braja region, it's like, you know, sometimes somebody may wonder, well, what's going on here? It's because there's geological changes. But when Krishna was present in Braja, it was literally a forest. As recent as 1920. mean, you know what it's like. You go through a forest, a really deep, thick forest. You can't even see the sunlight. It's a really thick forest. And for such a distance, I mean, to ride from the Krishna Balaram temple to Govardhan Hill, it's between 30 and 40 minutes car ride. Not see the light of the sun. How forested, how beautiful was Braja when Krishna was present. We can't. The spiritual world, we can't even imagine. So, back to the verse, Shankachuda, the pastime of Shankachuda being chastised by Krishna took place much after the rasa dance, but it's being described in one verse as if it was, you know, very proximate in time, and Prabhupada wants us to understand that that's not the case. There's other places as well in this section. Yeah. Where it seems as if the pastimes are being put very close together, one after the next. There's one verse, text 30, where Shukadeva Goswami is describing the Damodar Leela, and without, in the same sentence, in the same translation or same verse, he speaks of looking inside Mother Yasoda, looking inside Krishna's mouth in one sentence. So they're distinct pastimes, but the understanding that our acharyas and Prabhupada here is wanting us to have is that because he's speaking events that would take place in the future. And the last paragraph says, generally the future appearance and the activities of the Lord and his incarnations are foretold in the scriptures, and thus the pseudo incarnations are unable to cheat persons who are knowledgeable of the events as they are described in the authoritative scriptures. So the pastimes of Krishna for those who are versed in the scripture, pastimes, are known before they would take place. Or at least the basic theme of them. And it behooves people, especially in this age when there are abundant imitation personalities, that were knowledgeable in the scriptures. And so when somebody comes along and says they're Kalki avatar, Prabhupada indicated at one point that there's 14 Kalki avatars in India today. None of which match what the scripture says when Kalki avatar will come. Nor do they have any of the other qualifications. But for innocent people who don't have knowledge of the scripture, someone makes a claim, and someone may have some austerities, and through those austerities some power or opulence, and people accept. But we should be very careful to be conversant in the scripture, take advantage of the scriptures given to us, so that we will not be tricked in that way. Okay, so any comments or discussion? Yeah. What Prabhupada says in the purport is, one day before Holi is celebrated, it's traditional in parts of India that the effigy of Shankachuda is burned just before. So that means he wants us to understand that this pastime with killing of Shankaracharya took place around the same time in that month.
Second part of the question.
Yeah.
About fully referring to Krishna's
yes.
pastime
yes.
with devotees.
Yes.
And there's another holy night of this holy sister
yeah, different. Yeah, that's different.
So on Krishna's the calendar, you should, when it says holy at Kalpadeva time, we should know that it's the pastime of Krishna.
You know, that the last part that you've asked, I'm not so sure because I don't know so much about this other one in relation to Ravana. Charu seems to know a lot about it because that's what he's recently been, you know. He holds that as an annual festival.
Yeah. I was here
once. Oh, you were?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
We were putting the feast and they were having a holy company with some guys. But in some of our, say in Chicago, I know they observe, especially in the Gujarat community,
yeah.
this other thing called effigy of holy thought of the person carries Pallad into the fire. She was supposed to be immune from getting burned, or she was supposed to burn Prahlad, but Prahlad is protected by the Lord and she's burned. So they do this ritual where they take the coconut or something, pull it, then goes into the fire and is burned.
Yeah, I.
So it seems like something else.
They have, you know. They have other things that they do, the Gujaratis. You know, the Tulsi Vivaha. So, I can't comment on what they do. I'll do a little research and see if I can come up with what they...
I mean, there are two things.
Yes, there are two things.
Are they the same date, or is it confused?
Can't say. Anything else? That's he's on eternal time. Brahma's expanded time and Krishna's on eternal time. But he creates time also. He creates space and time and energy and everything. And he can expand and collapse time. He can expand and collapse space. That doesn't mean he has no interest in it. He's interested in the part and parcel living entities. The part and parcel living entities are as eternal as Krishna is. And that's pretty eternal. So he may not be so interested in our illusory activities, but he's interested in the fact that we've caught an illusion. And he would like us to not be an illusion, but be in a proper situation. If someone has enormous opulence, and at the same time is a fully loving person, their opulence doesn't diminish their loving nature. Krishna's nature is loving. So his opulence, his unlimited potencies, they're expanding. That doesn't diminish his loving propensity. So the saving grace for you and for me and for each of us is that our real identity is we're spirit soul, part of Krishna. That's our saving grace. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.